Big Oil Check-In, exploring the end of the age of oil.
In Dubai, kissing in public can get you a month in prison. In the US, growing a plant the government doesn't like can get you years in prison. Even possessing some of the leaves and buds can land you in jail. I'm talking marijuana. In a post-peak oil world, economic realities are favorable for ending prohibition on marijuana. We've already seen California begin releasing 6,500 prisoners this year to help close a $20 billion deficit. And the November ballot there will include a referendum on legalizing marijuana statewide and taxing it. Here in Vermont, also facing budget gaps, the legislature is considering a bill to release most people in state prisons convicted of nonviolent misdemeanors or felonies, if they've served their minimum sentences. There's not a strong movement to legalize marijuana, but at least one county prosecutor and one mayor have endorsed the idea. The current state budget crises are likely to continue for the next decade at least. That's what an energy analysis suggests. As I reported last week, the Obama administration has acknowledged that world oil production may start declining beginning next year. More and more experts are converging around a peak in world oil production right around now, plus or minus 5 years. The world's industrial economies are built around cheap and abundant energy, mostly fossil fuels. Yes, efficiency and conservation and renewables can pick up some of the slack as oil production drops. But as author James Howard Kunstler is fond of saying, there's no way to run Walmart, Disney World, and the interstate highway system on any combination of renewables and efficiency. I expect the economy over the next decade to experience various cycles of what we've already seen in the last 5 years. A run-up in oil prices as economic growth picks up. Then oil prices get too high for many sectors of the economy, so growth stalls again, and oil prices drop down, but not as low as they were in the previous trough. Meanwhile, the suffering from the current economic downturn continues. Long-term unemployment is considerably higher than it has ever been in the U.S. since measurements were begun in 1948. While housing prices have somewhat stabilized, what seems to be keeping them from dropping further is that borrowers can stop paying their mortgages without banks foreclosing. As of January, the number of mortgage holders who were behind on their payments had increased by 45% in 1 year, to nearly 7% of all mortgages. All this to say, it looks like state revenues could continue to decline over the next decade. How many people do we want to pay prison costs for? I don't know about other states, but here in Vermont, corrections costs about 10% of the general fund budget. Even if we could afford to keep the present prison populations, there's a tremendous human cost. People don't come out of prisons better members of the community. And almost everyone in prison does come back out. The U.S. imprisons more people and a higher proportion of its population than any other country in the world today. More even than the Soviet Union in the era of the Gulag. Proportionally, the U.S. imprisons 20% more of its population than Russia, 50% more than Cuba, and 10 times as many as Venezuela. Ending marijuana prohibition is a good place to start jailing fewer people. For one thing, like alcohol prohibition in the 1920s, it benefits organized crime, and it's widely ignored. Current laws have made criminals of 100 million Americans who have smoked pot, and they make ongoing criminals of the 15 million who admit to smoking pot at least once a month. Many or most of these people are responsible members of society who follow the law, except for foolish prohibition laws. Like me, I've smoked marijuana. I like it. I'd like to smoke it again, legally. Many argue that marijuana is safer than that legal drug, alcohol. Drunk people get aggressive and beat people up. It's no coincidence that bar fight and barroom brawl are familiar expressions. Or that a lot of domestic abuse, including murder, takes place after heavy drinking. Stoned people don't throw punches. They eat brownies. LEAP, Law Enforcement Against Prohibition, is an organization of mostly retired law enforcement professionals who have seen the so-called war on drugs up close and decided that it does more harm than good. They advocate legalizing, taxing, and regulating all drugs, not just marijuana. I'm not sure I'd go that far, but members of LEAP know the harms of prohibition well. As energy scarcity continues to crimp the formal economy, we need to rethink how we spend our public money. Budgets are being cut for a lot of programs that help people. First, let's stop spending on stupid things. Locking people up who grow or use marijuana fits my definition of a stupid thing. I'm Carl Ettnayer, and that's this week's Peak Oil Check-In.
Peak Oil Check-In was produced by Relocalizing Vermont Productions in association with WGDR Plainfield.